Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon. Jacaranda FM.
Jacaranda FM, Bonnie and Friends. Matthew Booth here with me tonight, and that's for your beautiful wife, Sonia. Hopefully she's listening tonight.
No, love isn't always on time. You know, she made me wait as well. I'll tell you that much.
Okay. So we're going to get to where you met and your kids a little later on. And you're currently studying as well. We just found out you are not in touch with social media at all because you are studying. Good boy.
Yeah. No, that's right. I've got an addictive personality when it comes to Facebook and Instagram and that sort of thing, you know. So I just thought it was necessary to get off it altogether.
Some questions coming in via SMS. Hi, Matthew. How tall are you?
Last time I checked, 198.
198. That's very tall.
6'6", I think. Mm. Yeah. So.
And then why did you play soccer?
Family, genetics, you know, family. I would have loved to have played cricket. I thought I was a decent cricket player. But kind of the first interest professionally was football. And I think I went to a school where it wasn't a private school. And unfortunately, during those days, I'm not sure how it is now. Hopefully it's changed. But unless you played for a decent school or a private school, should I say, you didn't really stand a chance of cracking it at provincial level, you know.
When you made your professional debut, who was it for? Which team?
Cape Town Spurs.
What was it like when you got that call? For the first time ever, you were so proud to put that jersey over your head, and now you are going to start your career. What was it like?
No, it was fantastic. It was absolutely surreal. You try and put on a brave face and remain calm, but the nerves are, you know, the butterflies are really, really going. Luckily for me, my personality was such that I always got nervous going into a game, but as soon as I got on the field and had my first touch of the ball, it was everything was just calm, you know, and concentration. I was in the zone. And, you know, whether it was 50 people at Athlone Stadium or Cape Town or 90,000 on FMB, I still had the same attitude and focus. So I was fairly fortunate in that regard. Yeah.
You obviously didn't listen to One Direction and Justin Bieber before you.
One Direction? Who's that?
Exactly. I like you. I like you already. Somebody wanted to know, you know, when you get in the zone before you go onto the field, what do you get into? You know, what do you listen to and that kind of stuff from Shannon?
I didn't really listen to a lot of music leading up to a game before I moved to Russia. And then when I got to Russia, I started getting into the habit of listening to Linkin Park, getting into the bus, into the changing room, and then I used to take the earphones off when we went for a warm-up, and I just used to listen to Linkin Park. It was my habit, and footballers are very superstitious, and we like to have things, all our ducks in a row, you know, and not to break away from that sort of routine. So my stuff was Linkin Park while I was in Russia, and it worked out pretty well for me. And then afterwards, just to calm down, a bit of Bob Marley or Andrea Bocelli.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, we sent, I've got a good friend in America, and we sent Kaiser Chiefs, believe it or not, shirts, soccer jerseys to Linkin Park. Yeah. I've got photos to prove it, and we put their names on the back, the whole group. So that it was Kaiser Chiefs, but
no. Then again, you know, the story about Kaiser Chiefs from Leeds, the group from Leeds as well. It's interesting the way they took their name from reading the profile about Lucas Hadebe, which is an interesting story in itself. And yeah, it's football as a way of sort of breaking boundaries and influencing many, many people across the globe.
Matthew Booth in studio with me, 37942 at a cost of R1.50. You can follow me on Twitter as well, at Barney Simon or at Jacaranda FM. We're going to tweet some photos and whatever. Listen carefully to the next hour and a half or so. Well, you should have been already for the last half an hour. Where have you been? We've got two of these miniature soccer balls to give away, and Matthew will be signing those a little later on. And also, got some goodies here that you want me to sign. I don't know how you feel about this, but this was with a Disprin sponsorship still. So I don't know if you played for Sundowns.
Back in the day, yeah, absolutely. That was probably the most successful Sundowns team that ever existed. Yeah, that was those were good memories. Yeah.
And then I've got Mexico 86, the World Cup. I've got one of the little balls from the World Cup there. So you must sign that for me a little later on.
Yeah, not a problem.
We're still going to talk Bafana. We're going to talk about Wimbledon, your time in Russia as well. No truth in the rumor that he had a couple of shots of vodka before he played in Russia. But I'd love to know about your career as well in South Africa. So that's all coming up. Still stay there. Do you go to concerts, Matthew Booth? Because I played you two earlier on. And I want to know, if you played for the Bafana, wherever you went in the world, whatever, they'll recognize you. But do you get time to sort of, go to concerts and things without people harassing you? And
yeah, well, I wouldn't say around the world.
Oh, yes, come on. They all know you.
No,
if they know you in Russia.
No, I'm not a concerts guy. I don't like big crowds. But what I can't understand is that if I listen to a group or a band on the radio, I want to hear the songs that they play on the radio. You know, whenever it comes to concerts, they seem to change their style or change the songs, so I can't understand. And I've never been keen on going. I wasn't going to miss out on U2 at FMB. I think I've been to a John Legend concert at the Castle in Cape Town. And that's about it, to be honest. I mean, I appreciate my music, but I'm not a concert goer, no.
And did the people recognize you at the U2 concert?
If I remember correctly, yeah, that particular night was quite a haze.
You focused on the stage. Huh?
Absolutely, yeah.
But also standing in the queue to get in, it must be nice when, just that feedback that you get from proudly South Africans, you played for Bafana, and, do you still get that boo when they walk past you?
Yeah, no, absolutely, and it's great. I think a lot of people have still got, pleasant memories of the World Cup. I wish that time would come around again. It was great, a great time for the nation, and it was over too quickly for all of us, I'm sure.
So that first game you played, was it? It's a game, not a match. Huh? The first game you played, did you guys win?
During the World Cup?
No, your first professional.
Yeah, we won 1-0 actually. So it was a good start for me, and we had a pretty decent team. I think Cape Town Spurs had just won the championship, so it was great for Cape Town and great for everybody involved in the city, at the club. So it was a good start, and I was playing amongst some great players, so I was very fortunate in that regard. Yeah.
Mr. Rosley?
Yeah, Craig Rosley.
Most of them are coaches now, or television presenters.
Sean Bartlett, who everybody will know, I'm sure. Andre Ironser was in goals. So, some veterans of the game who threw the flag for South Africa in 96. The core of that team was full of Bafana players. So for a youngster, a lighty like myself, to come up and join a group like that was great.
And did they take you in? Did they help you a lot? Did they assist you? Obviously the veterans in that team, if you look at rugby now as well, you need two or three of the oldies there just to assist and help the youngsters. But did they embrace you? Did they help you a lot? Did you learn a lot?
Well, if you think the kicking lumps out of me is helping me, then yeah, they did. But there were no prisoners, just because you're a youngster coming in. They roughed you up a bit, brought you down to earth. And it was all about character building. But at the same time, would pat you on the back when you did something correct. And I think that's the way I think any parent should be, or anyone of senior nature should treat a youngster, And so I was well grounded coming up. Yeah.
And then you moved on to, was it Sundowns?
Yeah. Like you said, Cape Town Spurs and Seven Stars joined. They amalgamated to form Ajax Cape Town, and I was kind of caught in limbo, and I decided to move to Sundowns. They had just won the league twice in a row. So again, I moved to a club which was full of momentum, full of fantastic players. I arrived there and we won the league again. In fact, the league and cup double. So again, I got that taste of success at a young age, which was fantastic. And the similar time, I was playing national team for the juniors, and then I got my first opportunity to play for Bafana shortly after that. And that's what playing for a big club like Sundowns did for your CV. It put you in the spotlight playing up here in Gauteng. It was completely different. I remember driving up in my 1400 Nissan Sentra from Cape Town, you know, to this team, Mamelodi Sundowns, which was just full of legends. And I pulled up into the parking lot and there were just like Beamers and
sponsored
Mercedes
cars
all over the place. And it was, the welcome was fantastic. You know, they made me feel at home.
Who was your coach then?
It was Paul Dolezal.
Okay.
They used to call him Mr. Rubberface. He was just so animated on the sidelines, you know. It was hilarious just watching him. You know, he was kind of a sideshow. All the cameras used to focus on him and his antics on the side. So there were plenty of stories about him.
A day in the life. I mean, let's look at Sundowns now. Monday to Sunday. I mean, you're hardly ever at home because you train. I think on Mondays you go and watch the videos of all the goals you didn't score or the, you know, that must be horrible. And then you go and practice. A day in the life of a professional soccer player. We're looking at when you were at Sundowns. Then we'll move on to Russia and England. But what was it like a Monday to Sunday?
Yeah, look, if you played on a Saturday, you would get Sunday off, especially if you had a good result on a Saturday. If you had a bad result, the coach might very well get you in on the Sunday morning, you know. So that was extra motivation for us to do well. Then on the Monday, you would basically do what Dolezal called was footing, which was basically just running around the field, you know, just to get all the lactic acid out of your body and to recover. Often you would play weekend Wednesday, so that would be quite tough on your body, even though you were, it doesn't matter if you're young or old, you know, it used to take quite a toil on your body. You used to train for a couple of hours in the morning, watch a bit of video analysis, you know, like you said, it was something that some of the guys, if you had a rubbish game on the weekend, you would hate because the coach guaranteed would focus the video on particular moments, which, you know, would be your bad moments and you would be a bit embarrassed about. So again, a motivation to do well for, you know, during the game. The day before a game, it would be very light, just to keep you fresh for the following day. The build-up, obviously, most of the times in South Africa, you do camp, which is basically going into a hotel the night before. For some reason, the coaches didn't really trust us. And just to keep us away from the booze and the woman, perhaps, you know, from a lot of the guys used to like partying. So just to keep us out of harm's way and make sure that we were fresh for the game, they would stick us in a hotel. And the morning of the game, have a bit of breakfast, a team talk, and on the way to the stadium.
And your diets, were they all the same for everybody? I mean, obviously you had somebody there, a dietitian. Was it tough for you to eat vegetables and eat burgers and stuff like that? I mean, you probably got the craving for the odd little burger or whatever.
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, most professional sportsmen can eat anything because you're able to run it off the next day.
Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon. Jacaranda FM.